like a copy of God's Word, friends. It's offered to you freely. Yours for the taking without any obligation at any cost at all. You would like a copy of the New Testament in its entirety. It is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Please feel free to come and ask for one. Don't you know that the Bible gives to us the answers to many questions, maybe perhaps not all of your questions. God does not reveal everything to us, but in the Bible He does reveal to us the things that that He needs us to know. You know, the basics, if you like, knowledge of God, what it is that He requires of you, and of course, somewhat about your destination. You know, as to where that will be, because, well, the Bible assures me that the grave is not the end. That's not the finish. But then I think that inwardly, in your hearts, I think that you already know that. You have the sense of it within you. But of course, another question that is answered for us in the Bible is where all the bad stuff, you know, that you find in your world today, the stuff, you know, that evolution, you know, the philosophies of men don't give to you, but the Bible does, assuredly. In the Gospels, for instance, Jesus, the Lord, that is, He tells us, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts, you know, that's where it begins. In the thinking, you know, wrong thinking leads to wrong actions. It's in the mind, it's in the heart, that's the seat of the problem. If you cure that, then you cure the rest. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's why God says elsewhere in the Bible, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because it's the thoughts, you see, of your heart that are bad. And the thoughts of men's hearts that turn into evil actions. That, you see, is the seed of the problem. You alter the heart, the mind, which are both the same thing in the Bible. One's the same as the other. You see, this is the uniqueness of the gospel. It addresses man's heart. Religion will treat the outside. It will make you different outwardly, externally, but it won't change the thoughts of your heart, which are bad. Bad hearts and bad records, that's the problem. But the gospel, you see, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world, you see, to die on a cross for sinners and to rise again from the dead in order that those bad thoughts might be treated, might be dealt with, that the heart might be dealt with, the heart changed, you know. The heart that hates God, you see, and loves the evil, loves the bad thoughts. So you see, the next time you complain about the evil in your world and your society, just remind yourself where it comes from your own heart, your own mind. Out of the heart, the human heart, that is, proceed evil thoughts. Change the heart, Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Make the root good and the fruit will be good. Make the heart good, the mind good, and well, the actions will be good also. But it's out of the heart such as yours and mine, and people the world over, pumping out all the time, pumping out evil thoughts that turn into evil actions. No wonder the world's in the mess it's in. No wonder your society's in the mess that it's in. No wonder, friends, with hearts such as these. But the good news of the gospel is, you see, that Jesus Christ came to change the human heart. Not to simply just address the externals, but to address the heart, to change the heart. Why he says elsewhere that ye must be born again, you see. You see, that new birth of which Jesus speaks, you see, is the transformation of the inner man. A circumcision of the heart, you see. Made a new creature in Jesus Christ, you know. The love of sin taken out of your heart. The love of evil taken out of your heart and given a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. But God, you see, had been promising this gospel, you see, all through the ages of the Old Testament, that it was coming, that His Son, that Jesus, the Messiah, was coming. And how, of course, He would operate, what He would do, how that He would die an atoning death, a death for sinners. So that you might be washed and made clean, and so that you might be rectified, right with God, thinking God's thoughts after Him, clean thoughts instead of evil and wicked thoughts that turn into evil and wicked actions. But be assured, friends, that you must be born again, because except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, never mind enter into it. In order for a man, a woman to enter God's kingdom, there must needs be repentance. There must needs be a turning in the heart, you see, fundamentally from these evil thoughts. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So you see, that's where the evil, that's where the bad stuff that you're always complaining about, you know, and that you read of, you hear of in your newspapers and news bulletins day after day. Where does all the bad come from? Why don't we just love one another? Why don't we just be kind to one another? Because you cannot be. There's none righteous as God. There's none good. There's none that does good, says God. No, not even a one of us. Because we've got bad hearts, out of which come bad thoughts, and bad thoughts that turn into bad actions. Murders, says God, all the killing, all the taking of life, you see, illicitly. You know, the abortion. I mean, what do you think is the worst judgment that God could bring upon you? If you were given the choice, if God said to you, I'm going to judge you, how do you want me to do this? What about if I kill all of your children? Huh? Every mother in England would be raising their arms and their voices and say, no, no, please, please don't kill our children. And yet you have 10 million unborn, defenseless, ill children in the name of abortion slaughtered to date in your land. God has already killed your children and he's used you to do it. Your evil thoughts, you see, killing, murder, such thinking comes out of the hearts of men. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, says Jesus. The thinking, the thinking about abortion. Who was that hatched? Who was that birthed? Not in the kingdom of God, but in the hearts of men and women who hate God. Because those who hate me, says God, they love death. You see, murder. And now, of course, you've got it at the other end of the spectrum. Now you're not just talking about, but already started doing the euthanasia. How long will it be before you're putting a cap on the lives of your elderly? Who knows, maybe 75, 80, and everybody then has an injection. Get rid of some of these old people. Euthanasia. Murder the infants and murder the old ones. Death, you see. Murder. Slaughter. All over your world in one way or another. Out of hearts, you see, proceed evil thoughts. Thoughts about murder. How can we kill more men and women who are made in the image of God? No, you can't kill God. You would like to. Oh, you would dearly like to, but you cannot. So you do the next best thing. What's that? To kill man made in the image of God. That's why you hate your fellow man. The charm of God's law is that you should love God and love your neighbor. But you cannot love your neighbor until you truly love God. An impossibility with you. But that's the reason why all the killing, all the murder that you see in the world, whether by war, violence, drugs, abortion, euthanasia, all that murder proceeds out of hearts of evil, from which proceed evil thoughts that are turned into murderous actions. And so you cannot fulfill the royal law, God's law, His commandments, thou shalt not kill, because you have murderous hearts. Every time Jesus tells us that you've been angry with somebody, you're guilty of murder, because that's where it begins, in an angry, in a raging heart. So, you see, it's the heart that's the heart of the problem. So how do we get rid of the abortion? How do we get rid of the euthanasia? How do we get rid of the killing and slaughtering of one another? By getting rid of the evil thoughts, or getting rid of the heart from which proceed evil thoughts. Friends, a heart change is what God requires. Ye must be born again. The heart must be transformed. It must be changed supernaturally, miraculously, by the power of Almighty God. We're not talking about religion. Religion doesn't cut it. Religion doesn't change a person's heart, only changes them externally. You can do that well enough yourself. Just go to the mosque, the synagogue, the temple, whichever one you choose. Religious, easy. You don't need God's help or my help for that. But in order to be born again, that's a work of God. In order for your heart to be changed, the evil thoughts turned into good thoughts. Thoughts of loving God and loving your neighbor, loving the unborn and loving the elderly. Well, that takes a work of God, not a work of yours. You are trapped in your sinful nature in which you were conceived and born. You've been a wicked sinner since you were conceived in your mother's womb. By nature, you sin. The nature must needs be changed. And that takes a miracle, dear friends. That takes the gospel, the same gospel that I declare to you here today, the Son of God, who came into the world, who so loved the world that he came and lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there you go, my friends. That's where the bad stuff comes from. The evil, the wickedness that abounds in your world and in your society today. Another that proceeds from the heart, the evil thoughts, is that of adulteries. And says Jesus, adulteries, of course, is more than just simply, infidelity in marriage. It covers every form of sexual immorality known to mankind. And then maybe some more too. But here you go, you see, the explosion of sexual immorality, in your Western world in the last, 20, 30 years or more. The disgusting filth that you talk about. You've forgotten how to blush. You talk about things openly. You talk about things, on the media. You talk about things in public that would have made a past generation to blush redly. But no, you don't blush anymore. You're not ashamed of anything anymore. You're not ashamed of your disgusting filth that you talk about and that you portray before adults and children alike. Nobody is spared from it. Even your newspapers are pornographic. You peddle the filth all over the place, and then you wonder why your children, your teenagers, behave in the disgusting and revolting ways that they do. Now, it's more than just infidelity in marriage, the sodomy, the fornication. It's all sin, it's all evil, and comes out of evil hearts. Why is it portrayed? Why is it advertised in your society? Because they know what you're like. They know that you've got an evil heart that loves the adulteries. And so they sell it to you. They sell it to you. I think maybe next to the drug business, probably pornography. That's probably the next business, biggest business in the Western world. They make millions, billions out of your evil hearts because they know that you love the filth. They know that you love the adulteries. They know that you love the uncleanness. That's why they sell it to you. If there wasn't a market for it, they wouldn't be able to sell it. That's why it's all over your television screens and your internet screens. Say, friends, adulteries, that's the bad stuff that fills your world. The uncleanness, the filth, the indecency, the lack of blushing, the lack of modesty. All over your world, all over your society. But this is where it comes from, says Jesus. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries. That's where it comes from. Unclean hearts. Hearts that need to be washed and made clean. And I tell you, there's but one commodity that will wash and make your heart clean. And that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. That's why he came, why he died on that cross, why his blood was spilled, so that you could be, by faith in his name, have your heart washed. You know what comes out of your mouth? The same adulteries, the same uncleanness, comes pumping out of your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, Jesus said. All that uncleanness, I tell some of you going past the rude remarks, the filthy remarks that you make to me in passing, I tell some of them, I say, go and wash your mouth out with soap and water. But of course, that won't really do it, will it? Because it's the heart, not just the mouth. Oh, your mouths are bad enough. But it comes out of the heart. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's out of the heart that come the evil thoughts. It's out of the heart that come the adultery. So wash your heart, wash your mind, make yourself clean. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for filthy-hearted sinners, filthy-minded men and women. Go wash yourself. Go wash yourself. Make yourself clean. For God comes and judges you fully and finally. For he takes you away, before your adulteries take you away into the presence of God, and there to be dispensed with to a lost eternity forever, lest your heart's changed, lest you're born again, lest you receive the Son of God who came to change, to transform the human heart. But it's the heart that's the problem, and the heart that must be changed. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. You know what fornications is? That's the uncleanness to you. That's having sex outside of marriage. God ordained marriage, and it matters not what the government of the day say, it matters not their legislation, because there's a higher legislation, God's legislation, God's law, and God's law shall abide forever. The laws of the state change with the political parties. God's law doesn't change. Matters not what the state says. God says marriage is between one man and one woman. And that's where sexual activity is to be practiced, not outside of it. Because outside of it is fornication. Another matter of evil, you see. Jesus says so. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, fornications. They're evil thoughts, says Jesus. Time, get back to holy matrimony. One man, one woman. But of course, some of you don't even know what bathroom to use. Never mind what marriage is and what it constitutes. But then that's why you need to be educated. That's why you need the heart and the head mended. That's why you need the evil thoughts dealing with. You need to be brought out of the insanity, the madness of sin, and brought into a right mindedness. Why God says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and to begin to think God's thoughts after him, in order that you might be rid of the fornications, rid of the adulteries, rid of the murders. Theft, thieving, that's another one. That's another evil thought. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, thefts, you know, thieving, whether it be from the government, whether it be from the tax man, whoever it might be, plagiarizing, you know, college, university, cheating in your exams, you're pilfering, stealing, shoplifting, all manner of theft, big business, matters not. You ever stolen anything, big or small? Well, you're not going to heaven, says God. No thieves will enter my heaven. They're excluded from the kingdom of heaven. So if you've been thieving, matters not how much, matters not how little, small or big, thieves, if you're a thief, you don't go to heaven, you're excluded. So you need to repent of it, and you need to turn to making an honest living. Maybe the benefit system, eh? Maybe you've learned how to work the benefit system, eh? And get a few shillings more than's due to you. And many people are caught fiddling the benefit system, eh? Oh, can't work, they say. I got a bad back. Can't work, they say. I got a bad leg. And then off they go to the gymnasium. It's called stealing. It's called thieving, says God. And no thieves shall enter my heaven. So it must needs be repented of. It's another product, you see, of the evil mind, of the wicked mind, that needs to be changed, that needs to be transformed by the power of the gospel. The good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Why he came, you see, and lived and loved and died. Loved sinners such as these. Is that not an amazing thing? You know, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thieves, that God should so love a bunch of sinners, wicked, ruined sinners such as this. So love that he gave his only begotten Son up to the death of the cross, so that you could be washed and made clean, so that you could be forgiven. Is that not amazing? Is that not amazing grace? Is that not amazing love? That God should so love a wicked sinner such as you and I, that he would give his Son up to such a death, such sufferings, that you might be rectified, that you might be made right in your heart, right with God, reconciled to God through my gospel, through the good news that I declare to you here in Nottingham today. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Receive the good news. Receive the forgiveness of God for all your thieving ways, all your murderous, adulterous, fornicating, thieving ways. Receive the forgiveness of God and be right with God, justified for time and for eternity. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, false witness, says Jesus. Those who bear false witness, who tell lies. Well, of course, we know we have a government, we have a political system. Well, I think you have to be trained. You have to become a professional liar before you can become a professional politician these days. But of course, like government, like people, they're not the only ones who tell lies, are they? You complain about the politicians. Why don't they speak the truth? Why do they keep telling us lies? Well, why do you keep telling lies? Well, the Bible answers that question too. Because God says the heart is deceitful. A lying heart, you see. A deceitful heart, you see. A heart that's never been regenerated, never been made new by the grace of God, will always love and gravitate towards the lie. You've exchanged the truth for a lie, says God. For a mess of evolutionary nonsense, a philosophy of men. You've exchanged the truth for that. You love the lie and hate the truth. But it's the truth and only the truth, says Jesus, that will make you free. Free from a lying heart. Free from a deceitful heart. Free to love the truth and free to speak the truth. But it's out of an evil heart, you see, that comes such false witness, that comes such lies and deceit, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so you see, the heart must be changed by the power, supernatural, miraculous power of God. Changed. No longer a deceitful heart, but a truthful heart, and a heart that loves the truth. And the truth that is, of course, about yourself, as to what you truly and really are. A wicked sinner before God, in need of repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. See? And the truth, of course, about God, that He's your Creator, He's your Lawgiver, He's your Judge, and the one who would be your Savior, should you but repent and believe the Gospel. And the truth about Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only Savior of liars. There is no hope for the liar. There is no hope for the murderer. There is no hope for the adulterer. There's no hope for the fornicator. There's no hope for the thief. Outside of Jesus Christ, He is their only hope. Because He alone, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. He alone died on the cross, the Son of God. There was no other good enough to unlock the gates of heaven and let sinners like you and I in. Friends, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, neither is there salvation in any other name under the whole canopy of heaven, whereby a liar, a thief, a murderer, a fornicator might be saved, but can be saved, can be saved. This is the good news, for the deed has been done. Christ has died. Christ has arisen from the dead. Salvation is possible, and salvation is offered to you, even here this afternoon. Should you but repent and believe the gospel, you would be saved. Whatever your catalogue of sins might be, however dirty, however dark, however dangerous, however filthy and mucky they might be, there's forgiveness with God. There's forgiveness with God. It's the heart of the gospel that there is forgiveness. But you must repent. You must believe the gospel. You must trust in another. You must trust in the righteousness of another, because your righteousnesses, they're like filthy rags, says God. Unacceptable to God. You need the righteousness of another. He who lived a perfect, a blameless life. He who died on the cross for sinners. He arose from the dead to justify them and give them new lives and new hearts. Jesus, His name is. Unless you believe in Him, you cannot be saved, cannot be forgiven, cannot ever get to heaven. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, blasphemies, blasphemies, everything that you think and utter that is contrary to the character and nature and will of God is blasphemy. Much and most of your world religion today is nothing but utter blasphemy. Everything erected up against the kingdom of God and His Christ is blasphemy. And such blasphemy, the Bible tells us, is worthy of death. But then, of course, so is all sin. The wages of sin is death. All sin. All sin. Its wages is death, you see. And not just physical, but eternal death. And as long, you see, as you have a heart from which proceed such evil thoughts as these, of which Jesus speaks, friends. Evil thoughts of murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies out of your blasphemous heart, you see. You're exposed continually to death, even eternal death, not just physical death. The lake of fire, the second death, Jesus calls it. So you see, dear friends, you see the predicament, you see where all the bad stuff, all the evil comes from. No good blaming your fellow man. No good blaming Mrs. May. No good blaming Mr. Trump. No good blaming anyone else. Out of the heart, your heart, says Jesus, out of your heart proceed evil thoughts. These are the things which defile a man, says Jesus, make you unclean, that is, and therefore unacceptable to God. So you see, you must needs go and wash yourself and make you clean. But you say, well, where would I go? What kind of detergent would I need to clean my heart? Well, you could try the stores here in Nottingham City. Ask them, please, can you give me something to wash my heart and make it good and clean so that it will be acceptable to God? Well, doubtless they'll laugh you out of the place. They will tell you there's no such thing, but they're wrong. There is. But you can't buy it in a store. It's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross some 2,000 years ago. That's the commodity, and that's the only commodity that will wash away your sin, that will remove the stain, the impurity that defiles you, that keeps you from God, keeps you from eternal life, keeps you from forgiveness, keeps you from God's heaven, will do one day. The evil thoughts. It's the heart, you see, friends. It's the heart that's the problem. The heart of the problem. And that's what the gospel, that's what the good news about Jesus addresses. But of course, that's why you don't want it. That's why you don't want it. There's none, says God, none who seeks after me, none who desires God, all gone out of the way, all together become unprofitable, no desire for God, unless He comes to you, unless He smiles upon you, unless by His free grace He smites your heart with His love, unless He, by the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the good news, unless God smites your heart with His love, you'll remain just as you were born. You'll remain just in the way that you live. And you'll die that way and go to a lost eternity that way. How soon, I don't know. Tonight, today, this afternoon, tomorrow, this weekend, next week, couple of years' time, maybe in your old age, maybe not. Who knows? You don't know, and neither do I. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, then comes the judgment. Death is inescapable. Judgment inevitable. So you must go, wash, make yourself clean. And you must do it today, because you don't know whether you will have another day or not. You don't know when the judge will summon you into his presence, and there to give account for all your thoughts, all your evil thoughts of murder, adultery, fornication, theft, and otherwise. Hi. How are you? All right. Can I help you?
Is it all right for gays to be together?
I don't know what you mean. The Bible doesn't speak anything about gays. The word gay is not in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about homosexuals? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
God condemns a man sleeping with another man and a woman sleeping with another woman. Yeah. Okay. To answer your question? So like you say, friends, it's Judgment Day. Who knows, it's maybe just for you, just round the corner. Maybe not, friend. Only too late when you breathe your last. Too late, the man says, no. Not until you breathe your last. It's too late then. You know, there's no in-between state. You know, it's heaven or hell. It's, some people talk about a place called purgatory. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible either. The young lady asked the question about gays. Gays, the word gays, not in the Bible either. Neither's the word homosexual. God condemns a man sleeping with a man, a woman sleeping with a woman. That's what the Bible says. Not me. It's what God says. It's sin. It's contrary to the will of God. But the love of God, friends, the love of God in Jesus Christ has been displayed, evidenced in the death of His Son. Christ died for the ungodly, to wash you and make you clean of such sin, all such evil thoughts as proceed out of the evil hearts of men and women. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things, says Jesus, that defile a man and keep him from the kingdom of God. So I call upon you today to repent of all such sin. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. This is but the tip of the iceberg. Oh, the wickedness, the evil of men's hearts. Who can plumb the depths of their evil hearts? Only God. Only God, I tell you. Sin that you're not even aware of, but God is. And so I call upon you again today to repent and believe the gospel, as Jesus otherwise commands you to, because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because he will not always be to be found of you, will not always be near to you. But in the proclamation of the gospel, he comes near to you. Will you not come? Come unto me, all ye that labor with these evil thoughts, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. peace with God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, reconciled to God, member of His kingdom, His family, kingdom of love and grace, power, the power to cleanse, to make your heart clean, to love cleanness, to love purity, to love that which is good, to love God, to love your neighbor, to love, that's what you are made for, not such evil as this, but to love and to be loved, to love God and to love your neighbor, that's the primary. That's the first and the greatest of God's commandments. But in order for a person so to obey, they must needs be born again. Born again to eternal life through the risen power of King Jesus. Repenting, turning from your sin, from your evil thoughts that lead to evil actions. Turning in your heart and believing with all your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins and rose again from the dead, and confessing, testifying to such. Oh, repent and believe the gospel. Kingdom of God is at hand. That's why Jesus says so. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Nottingham. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. It's offered to you free of charge, without any cost or any obligation to you. They like one, you feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, precious souls.